Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are studying the history of salvation. The first stage of the history of salvation, we saw the primeval history from the creation to the call of Abraham. The second stage was the patriarchal history, the story of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his sons, especially Joseph. Now, today we want to focus our attention on the third stage of this history of salvation, namely the story of Exodus. The story of Exodus tells us how the people of Israel, who came to Egypt as a special invitees of the Pharaoh, because one of them, Joseph, was the highest official in that kingdom and functioned as a benefactor by protecting the people of his people from famine, were given a special place and special consideration in the land of Egypt. That's where the story of Exodus starts. Gradually, this special favor and consideration was lost because there was a change in the regime or the dynasty. And the special honor was substituted by special oppression. The honored guests became slaves. And the people of Israel who were enslaved in Egypt, who were under oppression, cried to God. God intervened in their favor and brought them out of the land of slavery with a mighty arm. So the word Exodus means going out, exodus, the way out. However, the Exodus event is not only the coming out of the land of Egypt. The Exodus event comprises many other stages. The first is the liberation from Egypt. The second stage is formation of a people, the people of Israel, who was brought out by God through the intercession or the intervention of Moses. They were brought to Mount Sinai, in the desert of Sinai, where they spent more than a year, and where they were formed into a special people called the people of God. There God made a covenant with them, and the people accepted the conditions of the covenant. So they became a covenant people. So the second stage of this Exodus is the making of the covenant. First the liberation, then the formation of the people into a covenant people. And the Exodus does not end there. The Exodus continues. They have a place to go, they have a destination, a goal to reach, and that is the promised land. But the promised land is far away. They are at present in the desert. Even though at the foot of the mountain of God, that's not the place where they have to stay. It's only a kind of place of interval, an intermediary phase. They have to travel, and the travel is through the desert. So the third stage of this Exodus is the travel, the journey through the desert, a journey of trials and temptations, a journey of failures and success, a journey through which they learn to live as the people of God. So the Exodus event becomes complete only when the people enter the promised land, occupy it, and make it their own. But the Pentateuch, the first five books, does not speak about the entering of the promised land. So the Exodus event, as we are concerned today for our discussion, leads us to the fringes of the promised land. So that is when Moses dies. Moses, the great leader of the Exodus, did not succeed in entering the promised land and leading the people into the land. He succeeded in bringing them out of the land of slavery, leading them to the desert, to the mountain of Sinai, and he was a mediator for the Sinai covenant, and he was also the leader all through the journey to the promised land. But there it ends, at the border of the promised land. On Mount Nebo, Moses dies, and the people are left with a new leader, Joshua. So the next phase of the history of salvation will be the conquest, and that we'll be studying tomorrow in our next session. So today we are focusing our attention on this Exodus event, from the liberation from slavery to the coming of the border of the promised land. Here, two major events take place. That is, one is the liberation and crossing the Red Sea, and the second is the covenant at Mount Sinai. The time, the period, when did this occur? Of course, this is a historical event, interpreted in the light of history, with embellishments. But at the same time, it is a historical event that a group of people who were slaves in Egypt escaped from that slavery, and they were led through the desert and entered the promised land. In this process of going from slavery to the promised land, they became a people of God. They become aware that they are a special people, that they are a covenant people. So this is a historical event. When did this occur? It's being disputed. The probable time of this Exodus is somewhere between 1450 and 1250 BC. Exactly is difficult to determine. But most of the authors conclude from some particular events. For example, the forced labor to which they were subjected in the construction work of the cities like Pithom and Ramses is deduced that this construction work took place under Ramses II, the son of Seti. And if that is true, then the Exodus, the coming out of Egypt, should have been sometime around 1300 BC. Approximately between 1310 and 1300. So the Exodus event can be situated somewhere between 1300 and 1250 BC. The events narrated in the books, four books of the Bible. And the four books are Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The book of Exodus, chapters 1 to 18, tells us the story of the liberation, how the people of Israel came to be slaves in Israel, slaves in Egypt, because there was a change of dynasty. And this took place around 1550. So from 1700 BC to 1550 BC, there was a dynasty called the Hyksos, the Amorite kings. Only time when foreigners ruled Egypt was this 150 years, 1700 to 1550. And this would have been the time when Joseph entered Egypt, where he was welcomed and his family was brought in with honor, because these were all Amorites, and the family of Joseph also would have belonged to the same group of people. So when there was a change of dynasty, the people of Israel were either forced to leave or forced into slavery. And here we see the people of Israel under slavery. So these slaves were under oppression and exploitation, and they cried to God, and God intervened in their favor through the mediation of Moses, who was related to the Hebrews or to the Israel by birth, and to the Egyptians by upbringing. So God chose this particular person or trained him and made him a leader of the slaves. The second phase of the Exodus, that is the covenant at Sinai, is reported in the second part of the book of Exodus, chapters 19 to chapters 40. The entire book of Leviticus, the 27 chapters, also deal with the Sinai covenant. And the book of Numbers, chapters 1 to 9, also is related to the Mount Sinai and the Sinai covenant. So from Exodus 19, all through the book of Leviticus to Numbers chapter 9, we have the narration of the Sinai covenant. That is the second phase of the Exodus event. The third phase of the Exodus event is reported, that is a journey through the desert from Sinai to the Promised Land. That we can find in the entire book of Numbers from chapter 10 onwards. And the whole book of Deuteronomy is somehow situated in this phase. When the narration ends, when the Pentateuch ends, we are presented with the people of God journeying through to the Promised Land, but encamped at the last stage in the plains of Moab, at the foot of Mount Nebo, on the eastern side of River Jordan. There Moses dies and Pentateuch comes to an end. So this is the content of the four books. Now, as far as the Exodus event is concerned, we can say this is the most important event in the entire Old Testament. In the entire history of Israel, Exodus is the most decisive, fundamental, foundational event. It is on this foundation the whole history is built, so to say. It is in this Exodus event that they encounter God in a special way. The God of the Bible is the God of Exodus. It is in this event that God reveals his name. Abraham and Jacob did not know the name of the God who had intervened in their lives. Jacob, in fact, asked, "What is your name?" And God did not reveal it. But when Moses asks, "What is your name? What name shall I say? What shall I say to my people when they ask me, what is the name of the God of your fathers?" There it is that God reveals, "I am who I am." Yahweh. The name of God as Yahweh is revealed in the Exodus event. It is by this name that God is known all through the Old Testament. And the special nature of God as the liberator of the oppressed, the one who hears the cry of the oppressed, the one who comes to liberate the weak and exploited, the poor, that is in the Exodus event that God appears as such. So the Exodus event is the foundational event. It is in this event that the people of Israel become a people of God. It is this event that gives them the awareness and consciousness of being a special people, chosen by God to be the people of God, to be the witness of God in this world, to be a priestly people, to offer worship to God. The event that makes the people a people of God. This event is celebrated, commemorated, through the major festivals of Israel, especially three major festivals, the festival of Passover, and the festival of Pentecost, and the festival of the Tabernacles. All these feasts somehow commemorate this event. Every year they repeat, they remember, they represent, they reenact, they celebrate this liberation from slavery. And this is this event that gave them hope. When they were depressed, when they were in slavery again. For example, in 587 BC, when the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem, burned down the city and the temple and the palaces, and thousands of Israelites, Judahites, were carried captives into Babylon. And when they thought that everything was over, they were done with forever, it is the Exodus event that gave them hope. God, who intervened in their favor in Egypt, will again intervene in their favor and bring them back from slavery. And they thought, they considered it as a second Exodus. That's how prophet Isaiah, the so-called second Isaiah, chapter 40 to 55, presents the return of the exiles as a second Exodus. This is the model, the paradigm of liberation. Every time they were under oppression, they were in trouble, they think about how God liberated them, how God intervened in favor of them. They celebrated, they commemorated, they sung the praises of this God who led the Exodus through the Psalms. For example, Psalm 78, 81, 105, 106, Psalm 114, 135, 136. All these Psalms tell the story of the liberation, how God liberated them, the story of the Exodus, how God liberated them from the slavery, how God led them through the desert, and how he brought them to the promised land. Exodus is remembered and celebrated also in the New Testament. Passover is the term, the central term also for the New Testament. For example, when Jesus speaks about his death, he sees not as an end, but as a transition, as a going away, going from one place to another. In chapter 13 of John, chapter 13, 1, the evangelist tells about Jesus' death like this. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. To depart from this world, go to the Father. Exodus, going from one place to another. For Israel, it was going from Egypt to the promised land, from slavery of the Pharaoh to the promised land, to the freedom. For Jesus, it is going from this world to the Father. And for the Christians, it is going from the land of slavery and sin and death to the freedom of the kingdom of God, from this world to the Father. So Exodus, or Passover, becomes a central event, the most important event in the entire history of salvation. In the Old Testament, it represented the transition from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. In the New Testament, it represents the transition from sin and death to life eternal, to God's love, to God's kingdom. So this is the central event in the entire history of salvation. It's also important to see how God revealed himself in this Exodus event. First of all, we see God as the Holy One. During the period of the patriarchs, we saw God as the shepherd, the one who calls by name, the one who goes ahead and guides the people. The patriarchs were shepherds, and they experienced their God as a shepherd God, as a valiant leader shepherd. But in the Exodus, the experience is a bit different. The God of Exodus, first of all, manifests himself as the Holy God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, God manifests himself, appears to Moses, and reveals himself like this. Chapter 3, verses 1 to following. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." The holiness of God, the place where you stand is holy. So the holiness of God somehow reveals to Moses a particularly different type of God. Different God, a God who was not familiar to him in the court of the Pharaohs. And the holiness of God is manifested not only in the burning bush. The holiness of God is manifested above all in his kindness and compassion. And that is being expressed in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings." So the holy God is a God with a heart. A holy God is a God who hears the cry of the oppressed. And he doesn't sit quiet in his heavens. He comes down. "And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land." So the God of Exodus is a holy God, a God of compassion, a God of kindness, a God who hears the cry, a God who comes down to act, and that action is a liberation. And that liberation leads them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Is a God who intervenes in history, is God who makes history, is the one who creates the world and creates the history. He is the master of the history. He is the guide and Lord of history. He is the God of the poor and the downtrodden, a God who hears the cry of the oppressed. And he is the Almighty God. He is more powerful than the entire army of the Pharaohs. Without a soldier and without a horse or a sword, he wins victory over the great superpower Egypt. Pharaoh and his army becomes impotent, unable to defend themselves against this God. The word of God is so powerful that Pharaoh has to surrender. And when he dares to follow the runaway slaves, he learns the lesson at the Red Sea, where the entire chariot force of the Pharaoh is drowned. The Almighty God, who creates history, who guides the people, is a God of the covenant, a God who calls by name, who reveals his will and enables the people to become a people of God, a God who enters into a personal relationship, not only with the individual Abraham or Jacob, but with the people, and with the intention of bringing the entire humanity into this covenant. A God is present among the people. It is he who leads the people out of the land of Egypt. It is he who guides them where there is no way, in the Red Sea. It is he who divides the sea and leads the people in the midst of the sea. It is God who leads them also in the desert, feeds them with manna, the food unknown to the people. Daily he showers bread from heaven. A God who is always present. A God who guides the people in the column of fire and column of cloud by day and night. A God who is present among the people. A God who corrects. A God who guides. It is God, the God of Exodus, and this God has the name Yahweh. And it is he who brings the people out of the land, leads them into the promised land. That is going to be our next subject for discussion, the conquest of the promised land. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for manifesting yourself as the holy God who appears on the bush that burns but does not consume. You burn our iniquities but does not destroy us. You want us to be holy like you are holy. And your holiness becomes manifest when you hear the cry of the oppressed, when you liberate the slaves to the freedom of the kingdom. Thank you for manifesting your holiness, your love, and your compassion. And the ultimate manifestation we know is on the cross, where you revealed your ultimate love. Thank you, Father, for this great revelation of your love through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.